Thank you all for coming today. Some of my family's here from afar, and many of the St. Giles folks and friends from my covenant group, and it's just a joy to have the congregation together. So thank you. A few years ago at an elders' meeting, we were reviewing some of the seasons of St. Giles' life, and Wally said, "Keith has been our Moses." And I remember squirming at that, and I thought, my name doesn't even belong in the same conversation as that hero of the faith. And so when I was pondering on what to preach about today, my mind kept resisting what seemed to me to be the obvious scripture passage, because I didn't want to compare myself with Moses. But actually, I don't think Wally was comparing me with Moses either. He was simply recognizing that God assigns his servants to particular roles. And in some ways, during my years here, my roles have tracked with Moses' roles. And as we'll see, our Josh's roles going forward track with Moses' successor, Joshua, in some amazing ways. And there are some striking parallels between the roles of the people back then and the roles of the St. Giles people going forward. It's going to be fun, I think, for you, as it has been for me, to see what God's Word shows us about what he's done and what he's about to do. Because he's ready to take St. Giles into some new territory. And I believe he has a word for us today in Deuteronomy 31. So before we go there, let's offer a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word and how you, the author of the story of old, are the author of our lives as well. So take your ancient word and bring it to life through the presence of your Holy Spirit and speak into our lives today. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, "I am now 120 years old. I am no longer able to get about, and the Lord has told me, 'You shall not cross over this Jordan.' The Lord your God himself will cross over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua also will cross over before you, as the Lord promised. The Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, and you shall deal with them in full accord with the command that I have given to you. Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give them, and you will put them in full possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes before worship, I've teased with Curtis and said, "How about if I play the drums today?" And he just laughs at me because he's seen how when I clap, I lose my way after about two or three measures. And I've had the same laugh with Linus. Linus will say to me, "Tell you what, how about if you play the organ today and I preach?" And I guarantee you the preaching would be better than the organ playing that day. So we tease with each other about something that all of us do every day, and we don't even think about it. We're always sorting out which person is best for a particular role. And everybody can have good intentions and be pursuing the same goals, but if you're going to go together, it actually matters who's doing what. You need to have the right person in the driver's seat. in the family van. So everybody can want to go to the same place, but it's best for mom or dad to drive than five-year-old Peter. Just don't work out so well. And if you need your computer fixed, it's best not to call your 80-plus-year-old friend who doesn't know where the on-off button is for the computer. Now, we get that. I mean, this is just normal way of doing life. We assign roles, and then we fall into these patterns because people are operating according to their knowledge and their talents in certain roles. But then we get to this change over time when we're changing patterns, and we have to stop and think, okay, who's going to do what here? And that's exactly what was happening there on the east side of the Jordan River. People have been walking through the wilderness together for 40 years. They had their roles. They did them over and over for 40 years. But it was about to change. They were about to go into the promised land. And they knew the stories, those that had not been there to see it, that 40 years before, when the Lord had brought them to the brink of the promised land, they had wimped out before they ever entered. So this time, they wanted to do it right. And then complicating all that, it was time for a leadership change. So the Lord knew that it would be wise for them to stop and to sort out their roles first. And actually, it wasn't their role to choose their roles. That was the Lord's task, to assign the roles. And here in Deuteronomy 31, we hear the account of how Moses reported the Lord's role assignments for them. And just for the sake of a shameless pun, let's call this a roll call. So Moses calls out his own roles, and he calls out Joshua's role, and he calls out the people's role, and even calls out the Lord's role, because the Lord wanted the people to know what he was going to be doing. So let's do that. This is a shift of season. We've had our roles, but we're about to enter into something new. And it's time to stop and think through who's going to do what. The Lord is ready to take St. Giles into a new season. So what does that mean? Well, let's start with Moses. For 40 years, it was Moses' role to tell the people what the Lord was up to. So he would go up the mountain and get some clarity from the Lord, and then come down the mountain and report what he had heard. And actually, that's what he was doing here in Deuteronomy 31. But now, he was almost finished with that role. And that's akin to the role that I've had. Not me alone, but with the other pastors and the elders and the teachers, I've reported to the St. Giles people what the Lord's up to. Been doing that for 14 years here. But now, after this morning, my time in that role is up. So Moses was finished with one role, and actually part of his role was to acknowledge that he was finished. Because the Lord had made clear to Moses that he had run through the years that the Lord had assigned for him in this role. Moses could have gone longer. I mean, look over in Exodus 34. It says that even at 120, Moses' sight was unimpaired and his vigor unabated. And I think the little bit of poor mouthing he was doing here in this passage about his state of health was just that, poor mouthing. Because the Lord saw that indeed he was quite able, and yet the Lord knew that Moses was finished in that role. And it had to be a temptation for him to want to stay on, because, my goodness, he'd walked with these people for 40 years, and they were the edge of the promised land. But it wasn't his role to go with them into that next place. So his role was to live within the boundaries of his assignment. Now again, it's pretty easy to see the parallels with my role here. I mean, I could actually carry out the pastor role a bit longer. The Lord knows I'd love to enter into the cool things that he's about to do here at St. Giles. But part of my role now is to live within the boundaries of my assignment. And then Moses had one more role. And that was to pass the baton to Joshua. I mean, Moses had been telling the people this was going to come. He'd been telling them that for a good while. And of course, that's very much akin to what we've been doing here at St. Giles of late. We've known that we would have this leadership transition, and the presbytery was here to install Josh as co-pastor, and for many months now, he's been functioning as the lead pastor. And we're going to conclude that baton passing in just a bit with some prayer. Now, I want to move on to do some comparing of Josh and Joshua, but first, one more word, not so much about Moses or me, but specifically about an older generation welcoming the next generation. And this word comes to us courtesy of the second president, John Adams. Adams understood that the Lord has more goodness to give to us than any one generation can receive on their own. And so this is what he wrote to his wife. "I must study politics and war so that our sons may have the liberty to study mathematics and philosophy, geography, natural history, naval architecture, navigation, commerce, and agriculture in order to give their children a right to study painting, poetry, music, architecture, statuary, tapestry, and porcelain." Isn't that interesting? I've had to major in the necessary arts so that our children can pursue the liberal arts, so that their children can pursue the fine arts. So he's thinking education terms, but there's a spiritual truth here, and he was shaped by the scripture in a way that he understood this passing of the generations, that it's the role of one generation to prepare the way so that the next generation can go farther and deeper and better in the directions that God sets. So that's what was happening here with Moses and Joshua. He had brought them to the border of the promised land, and now the people were going to go farther than he himself could go with them. So, my fellow old folks, y'all have done a good job this last season bringing St. Giles up to the border of the next things God is ready to do. And together we've secured St. Giles in a stable and well-fitting denominational base. We fixed up the building. We've got the organ almost completely finished in its refurbishing. They've got a good space for contemporary worship. There's a good base here, for a physical base for continued ministry. We've established some new patterns of leadership and mission. And I have to tell you that a lot of that hasn't been much fun. Those have been the necessary arts of politics and war in some ways in this last run. And we've done this knowing that the Lord was bringing our successors to the edge of a new place, and that in the power of the Spirit, they would go farther than we could ever go ourselves. So good job, old folks. God has used us to bring our younger partners to this place of passing the baton and running on beyond where we're leaving off. Now, that doesn't mean there's nothing left for you older citizens to do here at St. Giles. It just means that more and more, it's the younger generation that's going to be carrying that baton. And it's our privilege to pass it on and then to cheer them on. Now, on to Joshua's role. If you flip over a few pages to the book of Joshua, you'll find that the Lord does call out some more specific roles for Joshua as he escorted the people into the land. But here in Deuteronomy 31 is just one overarching role. He said, "Go with the people and take possession of what I've promised." Actually, Joshua wouldn't be alone in that, because the Lord said, "I'm going with you too." But the Lord wanted someone with skin on to lead the way and to stand before the people and sound the call And Moses told Joshua how he wanted him to carry out that role. He said, "Don't fear and do be bold. Don't fear, do be bold." You know, whenever people move into new territory, they naturally start looking to the leader to see how the leader is handling the risks that are involved. Everyone turns to look at the leader. How's he handling this? And if that leader is not cowering in fear, but is stepping out boldly where the Lord said to step and saying, "Let's go, gang. Let's go. Let's follow the Lord together," then that equips the people to deal with their fears and to move on together into the next things that God is doing. That was Joshua's role. And it doesn't take a genius to connect the dots from Joshua of old to our Josh, who's leading forward here at St. Giles. The Lord has some amazing promises that he's ready to unfold here in this place, and he will take you in. But just like he's always done, he assigns a leader with some skin on, and actually some skin in the game, to enter with you. He wants someone to be with you as you boldly step into these next things that God is doing. Now, thankfully, our Presbyterian system doesn't leave that to the pastor alone. The pastor is partnered with the elders and others to lead the way. But Josh is going to lead them in that. And together, they'll lead the congregation. And their role is to take you into the promises that the Lord is opening before you, not in fear, but in boldness. Okay, so that's Moses and Joshua. How about the people? How about their role? Moses said, "Here's the role the Lord has assigned to you, the people of Israel. Cross over the Jordan and take possession of the land." Now, Joshua could lead across the Jordan and into the land, but he himself alone could not take possession of the land. It took a whole group of folks to take possession of that land and to set up life in the patterns of the kingdom that God wanted instituted in that place. Sarah and I recently had a young couple move in behind us, and we got visiting with them in the back alley and learned that they're thrilled with their new home. And we've seen them out in the backyard working to fix up the space, make it lovely. They're doing similar things. We've seen them having repair people of various sorts in and out of the house. And as we visited with them, we learned that they had not bought the house themselves, that her parents had bought the house for them and then turned the title and the keys over to them. Wow. That's quite a gift. So they secured this house not by purchasing it themselves, but they still had to take possession and to move in to this new place. And now that they have, this whole new chapter of life is opening up before them. And Moses said, that's the role that the Lord is calling out for you, the people of God. The Lord is securing the land for you, but you still have to go in and take possession of it. 40 years before, it hadn't worked out that way. The Lord had secured it for them. They never took possession. And so 40 years had to pass. But now in his grace, they had another chance. St. Giles people, the Lord is going ahead of you in these next few years into some territory you've not fully entered. And here's where we need to switch over in our mind from these images of the Old Testament to those of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God's people entered a literal land and they established a nation. But in the New Testament, we see the people of Jesus living together not as a political entity, but living as a community empowered by the Holy Spirit to live life like Jesus lived life. It's God's design. Jesus wants St. Giles to live like he lived. to be a fully functioning outpost of the kingdom of God right here on the corner of Grove and Tuckahoe. And it means you get to take possession of something you didn't buy. Jesus bought this, and he's handing you the keys. The keys to the kingdom life. But still, you've got to move in. You've got to take possession. So what's that look like? We'll read in the Gospels, read in the book of Acts, and see how these first believers in Jesus took possession. Look at the patterns of their lives to see what it means for you going forward. It means that you'll be living in Jesus' kind of love and grace and forgiveness and commitment to each other. It means that you grow in your capacity to show honor to God in worship and to show him your love. It means celebrating even the parts of the kingdom that make you squirm a little bit, like how the Lord has this habit of bringing us together in the church with people we would never get together with in the rest of life. I mean, look at this Duke's mixture of people he's gathered at St. Giles. It means always being ready for yet more of the Holy Spirit because we want to grow in our effectiveness as ministers of Jesus in this world. People who actually, in the name of Jesus, change lives. Touching people, body, mind, and spirit in his name. It means more and more living in the upside down values of the kingdom, caring for the poor, building bridges of racial reconciliation, fostering justice everywhere we can. All of that means that you're going to stand out as odd ducks around here in a culture that is about very different things. But it also means that people that want to know what Jesus is about will realize we can go to St. Giles and see what it looks like to live in the ways of Jesus. You can't buy that on your own. You can't afford it. But someone has bought it for you and has handed it to you. And now the Lord is saying it's time to take possession in some new ways. And he's going to go with you. And this rising generation is going to lead the way in taking possession of what God is doing in the next season. Now, I said to you that the Lord also had Moses tell the people what he would be doing. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this because the Lord knows his role. He's going to do it. And he will do what he did for Israel. He parted the Jordan River. He knocked down the walls of Jericho. He empowered Israel to defeat foes who were armed in better ways than they were. And he'll take up similar roles here at St. Giles. He's empowering you to do what is beyond you to do so that you can take possession of what you could not secure on your own. All of this is more than you can bring off on your own. When we get to welcome people to know Jesus, that's not just a natural talent. That's something the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. When he uses us to heal the sick or to deliver the demonized, that's not just something we bring off on our own. It's how we move in the power of his Spirit. And we can actually do these things. This is normal Christian living. It's what it looks like. And the Lord's role is to empower us. He's been doing so already here, and he's going to do so yet more. And you can count on him to carry out his role. Now, one final word. Moses did not get to go into the Promised Land, but he did get to go up on Mount Nebo and look over the river into the land. And if I might, I want to do the same for you. And here's what I see from here in this next season. I see people coming out of the isolation of COVID who are bound and determined not just to go back to the way life was, but to figure out how to do life together with Jesus and each other in some new ways, in worship and fellowship and service. And I see people who are done with avoiding risky prayer who are wanting to go for what God is calling them to pray into reality in this place, and are willing to put themselves on the line in prayer to do so. I see people who refuse to go with the cultural flow that is constantly dividing people racially and politically, and who are willing to sit next to someone in the pew and in their life group pray for each other and love each other, who would vote differently every single time, and be friends in the name of Jesus. Do you realize how countercultural and crazy that is? That's what Jesus does. I see people who know how to love people as they are, messed up, misguided, and at the same time that they embrace them, they live in such a way that it welcomes these folks to step in to new ways of life with Jesus. Do you believe that can happen here? I believe it can. I believe it's exactly what God intends to do. We can't buy that kind of kingdom house ourselves, but he has bought it. He's handed us the key. We get to go in and take possession in his power. I think the best years of St. Giles' life are still before, and you're going to see some unfolding in the next decade. So you ready? It's ready or not time, actually. And the Lord plans to get you ready. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for buying what we could not buy. Thank you for purchasing the privilege we have of living in a new way with you, living together in that new way. And just by our way of life and our centering on you to point to you so that others can come to know you and receive the great gifts you would give. We honor you. We celebrate you. You're the Lord of life. You're the Lord of our seasons. All your gifts are good gifts. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.